you, if you would join me by taking out your Bibles and going to Mark chapter 10, where we're going to be camping out a little bit today with each other as we look at that passage there. Mark chapter 10. Look at a familiar story as we continue in our series on What If. You know, there was this lady who was getting her portrait painted by an artist to hang up at their home. And it was just her husband wasn't in on the portrait deal. But as she was getting painted, she had asked the artist if he could please add some things into the painting. And so the one thing she asked for was diamond earrings and a diamond necklace, and if he could please give her some extra diamond rings and some ruby rings, all kinds of jewelry. And he said, yeah, absolutely, I can add that stuff in, but why on earth do you want me to do that? That's not even anything you're wearing. And she said, oh, I know. She said, but it's just in case I die first, because I'm more than sure my husband is going to want to get remarried. And if he does, I want his new wife to be searching all over that house and going crazy looking for that jewelry that I have on in that photo, she said. And you know, as you think about a story like that this morning, isn't it sad and ironic that that's what our world is really truly about? Think about that this morning. Majority of the people that we do life together with and that we journey together with around us at work, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in relationships with us, they're after the next bigger, better thing. They're after fatter wallets and bigger bank accounts. They're after bigger and better cars and homes. They're all about getting materialistic things. That's the culture we live in. Do you agree with me this morning? I'm not making this up, am I? This is where we live. This is where we see this kind of stuff happening all around us this morning. And ironically, Jesus wasn't afraid to tackle this topic. Aren't you thankful Jesus covered it all? He tackled it and he didn't shy away from it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He talked about it openly. In Mark 10, if you have your Bibles, follow along with me as I read the story. Verses 17 through 22 is where we're going to be looking together with a rich young man. It says, and he was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And you know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me, he says, because then you'll have treasure in heaven. And disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Now this morning as we launch in, I want to ask this question of myself and of you. I've been asking this all week long. What if this morning, what if my focus is all wrong? What if your focus is all wrong this morning? Could that possibly be a reality for us? I mean, because we're living in a world where the focus is all wrong, and it's easy to adopt their views and to jump into what they're believing and buying into. And so what if our focus is wrong this morning? What if we're just totally consumed and looking at the wrong stuff instead of at the right stuff with the heart of God that God wants us to have? I love this letter that a college student sent home, and you have to see it on the PowerPoint because I can't do justice just reading it to you, because you have to see what's written in it by the student. They wrote home, dear mom and dad, school is really great. I made a lot of friends, and I'm studying hard with all my stuff. I simply can't think of anything I need. So if you would like, you could just send me a card, as I would love to hear from you. Love, your son. That's pretty crafty, isn't it? Right there. Now look at the response back from mom and dad. Dear son, we know that astronomy, economics, and oceanography are enough to keep even an honor student busy. Do not forget that the pursuit of knowledge is a noble task, and you can never study hard enough. Love, mom and dad. You know, as I see that kind of a letter, I mean, in reality, it's so easy to get focused on the wrong stuff from a young age, right? I mean, I watch my kids from a young age right on up through. I see myself even wrestling with this. I mean, it follows you all your life, this focus on the wrong stuff, doesn't it? And it's easy to fall into that this morning. And we're not the first ones to battle this. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Matter of fact, in Mark 10, verse 17, look at it with me in depth here. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now try to picture this. Jesus is walking with his disciples from one place to another. And by the time we're reading this story, Jesus is popular. People have heard about him. People have heard about the miracles he's doing. They've heard about how he teaches the crowds. And there's just crowds flocking to him, hoping to hear him teach. And some even hoping for a miracle themselves to get a touch from Jesus. And so this man runs up to him, and he kneels at the feet of Jesus as a sign of respect, doesn't he? And he doesn't care what people around him are saying or thinking. He's a rich young ruler, and he kneels at the feet of Jesus in respect, and then he asks Jesus a loaded question. And I want to tell you, he went to the right person to ask a question about eternal life, didn't he? If you're going to ask anybody about eternal life, Jesus is the right source to go to. Amen? It's true. And today, there are many people that you'll hear around you talking about eternal life and God. And they'll say, oh, there's many avenues and pathways to God and to knowing God. Oh, there's many ways you can get to heaven and many pathways to heaven. And they'll say all kinds of things like that. But I want to tell you, Jesus totally dismantled that lie in John chapter 14 with just one little section of scripture. I want to read you what Jesus said, because he said, I am the key that they're looking for, and the only key to heaven and eternal life and to relationship with God the Father. Verse 1 of John 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? Now let me stop for a second. The you in that passage, at the moment he's talking to his disciples, right? To those guys, because they're heartbroken that Jesus is leaving soon. And he's telling them what's to come with his death and what he's about to face. And so the you is the disciples in this particular moment. Now you fast forward to today, and the you is all of us that know Jesus and are his children. We're included in that you. So he's going to prepare a place for us that know Jesus. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, he says, except through me. Now the me at the end is Jesus. Are we all on the same page this morning? It's Jesus. Exclusively Jesus. And Jesus does not say in this passage here that there's many ways to heaven. He says, I am the way, he says, right? He doesn't say there's many truths that you need to follow to get you to the Father, into forgiveness, into this grace. No. He says, I am the way, I am the only truth, and he says, I am the life. I am exclusively these things, Jesus says. And so when this guy comes with this loaded question, he's at the right source. Jesus is the one we should go to for questions about eternal life. And so he asked him this loaded topic, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I could have asked him anything, right? He could have said, Jesus, tell me what my future's like. Jesus, tell me, am I going to have a wife soon? He could have asked him all kinds of questions. How many of you ever thought, man, if I could spend some moments with Jesus one-on-one and I'd see him face-to-face and I knew I'd get some answers, I'd ask him these questions, right? Well, this guy, he doesn't ask trivial questions. He gets right to the heart of the biggest question we can wrestle with as humans, doesn't he? And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the answer, but I want you to catch how Jesus answered him. Because Jesus knew all about him. He knew his heart. He knew his background. And he knew how to speak to this guy in a way that would meet him right where he was. Look in verse 19. He says, you know the commandments. And he did. He knew the commandments. He had followed the commandments. And Jesus lists off these ones. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother. And so Jesus is citing the first of the Ten Commandments there. He's citing these ones in particular that are between human and human relationship-wise. And he's saying, these are the things that you got to hit out of the ballpark on. And I could almost see this man with a smile creeping across his face. Can't you this morning? Because if he, Jesus already said, you know these. And I could see him saying, oh, you're right, Jesus. I know those to a T. I follow those Ten Commandments. I live those things out, Jesus. These ones you mentioned in particular. And he thought, oh, I am all in. I've got this. But Jesus didn't stop there. As we look on, he continues in verse 21. Look what he says. And he looked at him. And I want you to notice the first thing he did. He loved him. Do you see that there? Underline that in your Bibles. He loved him. Isn't that powerful? I'm so glad that is added into the passage by Mark there. He loved him. He didn't look at him in a condemning and angry way and say, "Oh, you are so clueless, dude." He didn't look at him in anger and say, "No, you dummy, you don't understand this," did he? It's not there. No, he loved this man when he looked at him. Oh, Jesus loves us like that this morning too. Did you know that? He loves us. And he loved him first. He looked at him with love and with compassion. And then he said this phrase to him. He said, "You lack one thing." There's one thing. He's saying one thing that needs to be dealt with head on. There's one thing that is stealing your affection and your commitment away from me, Jesus says. There's one thing that's getting in the way of you being all in for me, is what he's saying to this man as he's there. And he says to him in the next part, "So go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me," Jesus says. Now, why sell it all? Because it was in the way. Do you see it there? That's why Jesus called him to that awesome commitment, because Jesus knew the hold that this stuff had on this particular man, and he knew that it had to get out of the way so that Jesus could have all of this man this morning. And here we are this morning, and let's be honest, his way of thinking was off, his thought process was off when he thought he had it all together, and maybe we're in the same boat. Maybe this morning as we sit here, we think we've got it together. Hey, Jesus, I go to church each week. I read the Bible to the best of my ability every week. Hey, Jesus, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not lying. I'm not stealing. You know, I'm not bearing false witness. I'm a great spouse. I'm a great parent. I'm nailing out of the ballpark in these areas. But did you notice? That's all good stuff, amen? And that's good, noble things. That's good stuff to have in your life. But did you notice what Jesus said? It could just be one thing that's getting in the way of your relationship with him this morning. Did you catch that? That's all it takes, is just one thing. And so the question is there any one thing this morning in your life and in my life that's in the way of our relationship? It can be anything or anybody. It literally can be a person or stuff or things. And so that's what he's saying. And Jesus knew that money was of utmost importance to this guy. And this guy thought that the blessing of being wealthy and rich meant that he was blessed from heaven and God was all in with him. And he thought, like many others, well, that just means I got a free ride to heaven because I'm a wealthy dude. And Jesus knew that this rich young man thought more of his money and possessions than he thought of Jesus. See, that's the danger zone, amen? When you think more of other things than of Jesus. Jesus needs that top spot this morning, believer. And so that's the danger zone. So Jesus tells him, here's what you need to do. You want eternal life, then you got to go. And you got to sell everything and give to the poor. And after you do that, then you can come follow me. Because Jesus wants us to give him our all this morning. Did you know that? He wants all of our time. He wants all of our talents. He wants all of our treasures. He wants all of our possessions. He wants all of our spiritual gifts. He wants all of those things to be at his disposal. He wants everything about us this morning to be all in with him and for him. Matter of fact, in Luke 9, I love what Jesus says here in verse 23 through 25. You don't have to turn now, I'll read it to you, but he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple," he says, "must deny themselves and take up their cross." Now listen to what he says here. Daily. How many of you know that's a daily cross-bearing thing? Amen? There's times I put the cross down and I need to pick it up again when something gets in the way and do business with Jesus and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry I let this get in the way. I'm picking up my cross again." "And follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it," Jesus says. And then he says this, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Some versions say your soul. And so Jesus was saying to the rich man the same thing here in this story. He's saying, come on, man, if you want eternal life, you got to deny yourself here. You got to deny your wealth. You got to deny your possessions that you are clinging so tightly to. And if you do that, then you can come follow me, because they've got a hold of your heart, not me. And he wants your heart completely and totally all in for him this morning. And as you think about that, you can gain the whole world. But if you don't got Jesus, you lose. Amen? You lose without Jesus. It's true. And so we don't know this morning how this story ends, do we? We don't know. We can see the end in just a few moments of what it looks like when we read the ending of the story as far as we are told. But we don't know if ultimately he left and he decided as he's journeying away, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be all in for Jesus. Or we don't know if he continued down the path he was and got more wealth and possessions. We don't know beyond reading what we read at the end there with how he walked away. But here's the deal. We do know what God says to us this morning. In Matthew 6, 19 through 24, Jesus says this. Verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And what he's alluding to is, man, the stuff that you guys are holding on to, talking to us, it's not always going to be there. Easy come, easy go. One day you have it, one day you don't. You're treasuring this stuff that's just stuff that's not going to be here a year from now, 2 years from now, 50 years from now. You know, I always find it fascinating going to the mall and going to the antique stores. Anybody find that fascinating? I'm buying somebody else's junk. You know what I'm saying? Like they threw it away. They kicked it to the curb or whatever, and somebody else got it and said, hey, pay me triple what, you know, you can get a new one for at the store because it's an antique. You know what I'm saying? And it's so fascinating when you read these scriptures and you think about that this morning. Those people that used to own those things, they may not even be on the earth anymore. And they collected and treasured, and now those treasures are gone out of their hands. Are you with me this morning? Easy come, easy go. And then it says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves, believer, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is saying, come on, you got to be focused on God's economy, on heaven economy saving, here's what he's talking about, and be all in with the things of Christ and build up treasures not here, but in heaven's economy with the way you're living and the things that you're a part of and the things you're giving to and the things you're pouring into. And I love what he says in verse 24 to kind of end that out. He says, because no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, he says. Now, the people he's writing to understood this. They had slavery back in those times. And so they got it when Jesus said that you can't have two masters. Because they would have known that if a slave had two masters, it would have been pretty ugly. There would have been dysfunction. There would have been disloyalty because they would have liked one probably better than the other, right? And they knew that. And not only that, but maybe they would even go as far as hating one and loving the other master. And Jesus is saying, that's the problem with you thinking you can have it both ways. You can't. You're either going to love me or you're not. You're either going to be all in with me or you're not. You need to choose, he says. You can't serve both me and money and stuff is what Jesus is saying. And what a truth that is. And so here we are this morning, and the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 13:5 these words, keep your life free, not shackled up by this that I'm about to share, but keep it free from the love of money. And then it says this, and be content with what you have. Be satisfied. Be happy with what God has blessed you with this morning. And I think that's a powerful, powerful gift when we learn, I'm not going to pursue this stuff, God. I'm pursuing you, the ultimate treasure. And I'm happy with what you've given to me. I'm content. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for what you have given. I treasure you above this anyways, God. I love the story of a woman who went to a football game on her second date with a guy that was getting to know her. He decided to take her to a college game, and it was packed. It was one of those big games that was on TV, and he tried to explain to her a crash course in football because she had no clue. She didn't really get into it very much, but this day, He explained on the car ride the best he could. They got there and the coin flip was taking place with the refs and the captains at the center. And he told her what that meant and how they get to choose who gets the ball first and whether or not they're going to defend which direction. And she took it all in. And then the game began. And it was a close game. It was back and forth the entire game and down to the wire with the end with the points. And just barely did that team pull it out in the end. And he was excited about the game. And he thought, I'm going to ask her on the car ride home. Finally, when they left the stadium, what she thought. And he said, so what'd you think? This is your first game. And she shook her head and she said, it's all about the money. And he said, that's odd. And he said, what do you mean it's all about the money? She said, it's all about the money. And he said, what do you mean by that? And she said, all I kept hearing everybody say the whole game was get the quarterback, get the quarterback, get the quarterback. And she said, it's obviously all about the money, she said. And you know, sometimes, unfortunately, Satan gets us to make it all about the money and the stuff. Amen? And what a dangerous place to live. Because that's when our focus is wrong. And that's when we have the heart of this young man this morning. And we're in for the wrong stuff instead of being all in for Jesus this morning. If my life is all about stuff instead of Jesus, I'm in trouble. If your life is all about stuff instead of Jesus, you're in trouble this morning. I love what Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6-10. He said, but godliness with contentment, so being a godly person and also being content with your lot in life, listen to what he says, is great gain. And then he says this, verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. Do you believe that? You don't take it with you. And then he says, but if we have food and clothing with these, will we be content? Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich, listen to what he says. Those who desire to pursue more, listen to what he says. They fall into temptation, into a snare, and into many, look at this, senseless and harmful desires. And these things, he says, plunge people into ruin and destruction. I'm not making this up. This is Paul. And he says, people pursuing more, people that are all about possessions and money and materialism, they plunge themselves into destruction and ruin. They trap themselves. And then he continues on and says in verse 10, now hear this loud and clear. I want you to, some people get this backwards. He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. Not money. Do you see that this morning? Not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That word root means it's the cause of, or it's the source of, or it's the origin of all kinds of evil, he says. So the love of it is what causes that. And it's, he says this, it is through this craving that some, this is scary, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs, he says. So he's saying, people in the pursuit of more, people in pursuit of money and bigger and better, they have wandered away from Jesus in pursuit of those things, and they've ruined their lives, is what he said. You see, if our focus is wrong, we're in trouble. That's what the Bible's teaching us this morning. And what if this morning my focus is wrong? What if I've been asking myself all week, is my focus good, God? Am I where I need to be focused? Am I okay? Because it only takes just one thing. Do you see it there this morning, believer? Just one thing. That's all it takes to pull you off course with Jesus. So what if my focus is wrong? The second thing I want to share is this. And what if I then lived so God could use my possessions for his glory? What if I lived so he could use them this morning for his purpose, for his delight? Could you imagine that this morning? If I chose, no, I'm not going to live like the world for more so that I can gain and so that I can just have momentum and so I can be saying I've accumulated this stuff. No, my life is about glorifying God this morning. I want him to get glory. I want him to get honor. I want him to be delighted in the stuff that I've been blessed with as I give it back to him and say, God, it's yours for your purposes and for your plans this morning. And instead, what if instead of my possessions owning me, God had me this morning instead of my possessions? See, that's a game changer this morning, isn't it? That's a life-changing thing. In Mark 10, look on again in verse 22. So Jesus told him already to go and sell all that he had. Verse 22 says this, and this is as far as we get with knowing where this young man ended up. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He walked away sad. He walked away down. He walked away in the dumps with his face down at the ground, sadly, because if he knew the cost was high for what Jesus was asking him to do. Jesus was saying, after you get rid of all of this stuff that's in the way of us, then you can come follow me. But until then, this stuff is going to be in the way, Jesus said. And he walked away sad. And again, we don't know if he had a change of heart. We don't know if he continued this way, but what we do know is that in this moment, his possessions had him. Do you see it there? They had him. And the question is, do my possessions have me this morning, or does Jesus have me? That's what we all got to wrestle with. What has me? Stuff or Jesus? Stuff or Jesus? And knowing the answer to this question makes all the difference, because if the answer is Jesus has me, then you know what that means? That means that Jesus has everything of mine to use for his glory and honor. Amen? That's what that means. If Jesus really has me, then everything I've got belongs to him. And you know, that's why we do baby dedications, right? That's why we stand up here with our kids and we say, oh God, I thank you for giving these kids to me into my care, but I'm giving them back to you. They're yours, really, God. Oh God, I give back my tithes and offerings every week to say, God, it's yours. This is on loan to me and I'm trusting you, God. It's yours, though, really. And so when we give everything to God, ourselves to God, he has everything of ours, literally, to use for his glory and honor. Look at that verse 21 again. Back up with for a second, because Jesus said something fascinating. When he told him to go and sell all that he had, look what he said to do next. And give to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven and you can come and follow me, Jesus. See, Jesus is saying to him and to us this morning that he wants us to get all in on his mission. Are you seeing that this morning? He wants us to be all in and have open hands to his plans for us and for the things he has so blessed us with this morning as we sit here in this sanctuary, and to look around and to see the needs that are around us and to say, God, what do you want to do with this stuff? What do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with this life? Think about this morning. How many of you this week encountered individuals throughout your week and you said stuff like this to them? Hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. Hey, what's happening? You fill in the blank how you greet people. That's, hey, dude, what's up? I do that a lot to people, you know, and we talk. But how many of us, when we literally talk to people this week, when we said hello, shook hands, or did fist bumps, whatever you do, because all the flu bugs going around, how many of you literally took time to care about them? Wow. Did you just say hello just to say hey and get it out of the way? Did you just ask how are you doing because it's the right thing to do and you've been taught that from a young age, but you didn't really care? You didn't really care to see them and their needs and their hurts and their struggles and their battles? Come on. It's so easy to be superficial. Are you with me this morning? We live in a very superficial world. Do you agree with me on that? It's easy to join the crowds and to be that way, but Jesus wants us to see people. He wants us to see them and to love them and to pour into them right where they're at and to help be a part of being his hands and his feet. Matter of fact, I love when you read the Word of God in Mark 6:34. Jesus said these words. It says this about him. Mark said, verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, listen to what it says he first did. He saw a great crowd. Underline that in your Bibles. He saw them. Do you see it there? He looked at them. He noticed them. He didn't just do a quick glance at them and look away and say, oh, I see they have needs. Somebody else will take care of this. Did he? No, he saw them, the great crowd. And look what it says next. He didn't just see them, but he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He began to pour into them and to minister to them. He noticed them. Did you see? I see you. I see your needs. I see what you're facing. I see what you're feeling. I see how you're hurting. I want to help. I want to pour in. Now you look in Matthew 8, and Matthew gives us a beautiful picture of another story where this happens. There's a leper that comes to Jesus, and it says in verse 1, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. How many of you know most people would have threw rocks at that leper and said, get away from me. Don't come anywhere near me. I don't want to catch what you have. I don't want to be around leprosy. But not Jesus. Look what it says he did. Verse 3, and Jesus, I love this, he stretched out his hand. And I want you to notice the order of this real quick. and he touched him. And then said, I will be clean. Do you see that? You see, Jesus knew this guy hadn't felt the touch of another human being for a long, long time. He was hurting. He was lonely, isolated. And Jesus reached out to touch him first as if to say, I notice you and I see you and I love you. Amen? And then he healed him. Do you see that? Oh, church, we're the one group that needs to follow the lead of Jesus and care about people. Are you in on that this morning? We need to care. We need to see people. We need to love people. We need to meet people right where they're at. We're the one group that's called to do this, and I think that's powerful. Can we be honest this morning? Can we be honest this morning? How many of us this morning know that we are the richest people in the world in America? We are. Think about it. We're bright. We're educated. We can just, with the click of a button, send a message across the world or across the living room if you're in my house and you have all those boys who aren't listening to you. We can walk out into our kitchens, and on any given day, we can check the fridge and the cupboards and grab something to eat and to munch on when we get a case of the munchies. We can change into another pair of clothes and we drop food on us at lunch today. And we're like, oh, I didn't want to do that, right? The meatball hit you in the wrong spot. You have extra clothes to change into, don't you, this morning? I mean, we can fly across the world in 30 hours to be from point A to point B. I mean, think about our world this morning, if you would with me for a second. We have enough food. We could feed the hungry. We have enough space in our homes. We're about big homes and better homes. We have enough space in our homes to even house orphans. Did you know that this morning? And the homeless. We are rich. From a statistical standpoint, we are poised to make one of the biggest differences right now as Christians than has ever been possible in all of human history. And I know, I'm telling you, you're rich. You're like, okay, Pastor Jeff, have you seen my checkbook? And let me just assure you, I have not, okay? I just want you to know that right up front this morning. But I do know this. I do know this. Many of us this past week, we went out and bought cups of coffee. $2, $3 here. Anybody with me on that? We went out and bought those pops. We went out to lunch. We did this, we did that. And we were able to spend some money this week to do those things, right? Many of us, can I meddle for just a second? Is that cool with you guys? Just for a second. I won't pick on you too bad, and me either. I'm with you on this. We have cable bills that are out of this world just so we can watch TV. We have cell phone bills that are car payment size for some families, unfortunately. And we're paying those things thinking that's cool, it's all good. Did you know that if today you have a roof over your head and a meal on your stomach before the day's over, that you're wealthier than 93% of the world? Did you know that today if you have more than one pair of shoes, how many of you have more than one pair of shoes? How many of you have more than 10 pairs of shoes? Let's not go there, right? Now we're meddling, right? Did you know if you have more than one pair of shoes, you're wealthier than 73% of the world? It's crazy. You see, we are rich this morning. We are wealthy beyond all get out, whether we realize it or not. We really are this morning, and we are responsible with that wealth to make a dent for Jesus and for his kingdom. Amen? As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, I'm just going to read this real quick. Paul continues to Timothy in that same passage we read a second ago. As for the rich in this present age, that's us this morning. Are we catching it? We're in that bracket, really. We may not be millionaires or billionaires, but we're well-to-do. Would you agree with me this morning? He says, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Oh, but instead of being proud, instead of setting your hope on stuff, look what he says to do. But set your hope on God. Amen. Who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Everything you've been given is God's and from God anyways, is what he's saying. And then he says this charge in verse 18 and 19. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, he says. So he says, these things you've been blessed with are to do good for God, and we are to be rich in good deeds to the world around us for Jesus. We are to be generous to the world, and we are to be more than willing to share with the world around us when we see the needs and the hurt and the heartache, and we are to be laying up treasures, not here, but in heaven's economy, is what he's saying this morning. Oh, to say to people around us, I see you. That's what he's saying. I see what I see you. And to be like Jesus, and to reach into their lives in any way we possibly can with the stuff we've been blessed with by Jesus himself. Oh, that we would do that. Amen. That's the call. That's the challenge. So, one last story as we get ready to take communion. There was a woman and a man who were invited by the boss of the company. And they were asked to spend the weekend with them. And this boss was very, very wealthy and well-to-do. And they knew that as they were coming to be a part of this weekend, that they were going to be exposed to things they'd never seen or experienced before, because they just didn't have that kind of money floating. And this guy was literally a millionaire. And so they went to his house, and they treated him well. This guy was a great guy, a great boss, a great leader. He was a great Christian man. And this one night, they went out to dinner at a restaurant they'd never seen the inside of before with this boss and his wife. And as they made their way in, there was a penny on the ground, and this boss reached down to pick up the penny. And as he picked it up, he looked it over, and he clenched it in his hand, and he smiled and stuck it in his pocket. And she thought, that's really odd. This guy's the wealthiest guy I know. And yet he picks up a penny, and he looks joyful about it. She thought, this is really odd. And she thought at dinner about asking him about it. So she worked it into the conversation by saying, hey, my daughter collects coins and pennies and stuff like that, and I noticed that you picked up that one outside. Is that of great value or something? She said, I saw how you reacted. And he said, oh, no, no. And he got it out of his pocket, and he slid it across the table to her. And he said, read it. What's it say? And she said, United States of America. He said, no, don't read that, especially now, right, church? Don't read that. No, what's it say? She said, 1 cent? He said, no, keep reading. And she said, in God we trust. He said, exactly. He said, every time I come across a coin of any type on the ground, I pick it up and I read that phrase and I take a moment just to thank God for all he's blessed me with, because it's all from him. And I tell him, God, it's in you I trust, not in my stuff, not in my bank account, not in my company, but I trust in you. And it's all yours and from you, so God, use me in it in any way you want to use me and this stuff for your glory and honor. Oh, what a right heart to have this morning, believer. Amen. That's what God desires. And so this morning, what if I live so God could use my possessions, my stuff, for his glory? Oh, could you imagine the dent we would make as believers? If every believer did this and adopted, could you imagine? And I'm not saying you aren't, okay? I'm not saying we aren't. But what if we got every believer on board to say, oh God, it's yours. And I trust you. And it's all for your glory and honor. Use this in me however you choose to impact the world for your kingdom advancement. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we get ready to take communion just a second here. And Emily's just playing quietly, and the team's getting ready to sneak up here this morning. But let me ask you this as we close. All it takes is just one thing to get in the way. Are you with me this morning? So the question I have this morning as we close, as we think about that first point, is your focus right? Is it right? Is it on the right thing? Is it on the right person? Is it on Jesus and Jesus first and foremost, to the point that Jesus has all of you this morning, all of your possessions, and you included? And have you said, God, use me in this stuff for your glory and honor? That's what he desires. That's what Jesus was saying in these passages. And I don't know about you, but I want to store up treasures in heaven. How about you today? I want my treasures to be stored in heaven, not here and now. And so this week, can I just ask you to check your heart and say, God, is it yours really? Do I really trust you? Is there anything, God, in the way? Maybe for you it's not possessions. Maybe it's not stuff. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's another sin you're wrestling with, and it's in the way. And Jesus is going to tell you this week as you seek him, get that out of your life. Maybe it's a battle with the tongue. man, your tongue is out of control in your life. And Jesus this week is going to say, that's in the way. It's time to get that out of there. Can I ask you this week just to ask him, God, is there anything in the way? Is there one thing like this rich man had? And is it possessions? Is it? What is it, God? And can I encourage you just to check your heart and to make sure you're all in with God this morning? Amen. And that he has all of you, your time, your talents, your spiritual gifts, your finances to use for his glory and honor. So, Lord, I pray today for me and my brothers and sisters. We know that in a world that's living against you and the things of Christ, it's a challenge sometimes to live these things out. But I pray for us that today, this week, we would check our hearts. We would surrender the moments ahead to you, Holy Spirit, when the Word of God is open and we're in prayer. And we listen for your voice, and you would speak, you would minister to us. And that we would make sure there's nothing in the way, not even one thing. And we'd make sure that you truly have all of us and all of our stuff to use for your glory and honor. So this week, Holy Spirit, we ask you to have at us and to speak to us and to minister to us and to stretch us and to challenge us in this way. So that we are storing up treasures in the right place, in heaven, not on earth, we pray. And we pray these things together in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.